Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. You know, so much is talked about with what's going on at the border that people forget that we have got amazing talk show hosts on the very front lines of the border. And I'm happy to welcome to the show one of these folks. Sergio Sanchez is at KURV down there in McAllen. Curve Radio, and he joins us now. Sergio, a very good afternoon to you. I want you to, if you can, paint the picture of the sort of stresses that you all are under there at the border, right on the front lines with this crisis.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the call, Brett. I was reviewing some numbers from local Border Patrol, our sector, our area. Is deep South Texas. If you know the unique shape of Texas, we'll look at the bottom, which is the tip of Texas. That's where Brownsville, McAllen is at. That's our sector. That's a lot of ranch land, a lot of little cities that dot the area, market about 1.5 million people, a bunch of little cities, but lots of ranch land. And it's down here that in this fiscal year, and of course, because most of y'all know fiscal years, you know, from October 1st to the end of September the following year, during this fiscal year that we're about to finish, of the almost 2 million plus people that the Border Patrol has caught, processed, and the overwhelming majority of them have been released into the country. They've been given these folders and this paperwork, and they've taken buses and planes into the interior. Over 2 million people that have crossed the southwest border, mostly the southwest border. We have processed, I would say, if I remember, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I was reviewing the numbers just a moment ago, I think it's like 440,000 wow. in our area here in deep South Texas. And of those this fiscal year, I think 71,000 were unaccompanied kids. And I was reviewing this because we had some other friends in media. They were also were sharing this information. Story a day ago while I was up in D.C. doing the fair, the Federation of American Immigration Reform, immigration check. On that day, Border Patrol had processed a 6-year-old and his 2-year-old little brother. And they were wearing white shirts, you know, like undershirts, and their family sent them across all of Central America and Mexico on their own with coyotes, with smugglers, across the border at our area here in deep South Texas, and in permanent black ink on those white shirts, they put the kids' names and contact information for family to, you know, be reached and eventually take possession of these kids. This madness happens daily, and sadly, Brett, we don't pay attention to this craziness, this lunacy that has been exacerbated. This problem has been made so much worse by Joe Biden and his open border policy, because people know the border's open. They're coming by the thousands. There are more on their way. This has been made worse by Joe Biden. We don't pay attention to this until Martha's Vineyard gets a couple of plane loads of 50 people. You know, it's the end of the world for them.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And let's not soft soap this here for a second, Sergio. You and I both know, when they write that information on the shirts of those children, the anticipation is that they'll be able to reach out to family members who can take them in if they make that successful journey. But the sad reality is those shirts will also identify them and their bodies should they not make that to the United States and not survive, correct?
There are so many unaccounted for. That is the untold story of Lord knows how many. I pray it would be hundreds. I fear it might be thousands that have come in this direction have been swallowed up by the cartels in Mexico, by the criminal element, by the sex traffickers in Mexico. We will never hear from those children ever again. And there's a flip side to this, too, Brett. That information, some of these smugglers, some of these cartel guys, they'll use that information to hold these kids as hostages and demand that they're, I mean, I don't know what other word, they're stupid parents. I mean, they should be in jail for sending their kids on their own north. Their parents will be extorted. Or the family members, the phone numbers are on the shirts, the family members in the U.S., they will be extorted for ransom. Like, give us a certain amount of money if you want to see your kids again. That's another thing that happens on a daily basis that's never talked about.
Let me ask you this, or I don't want to ask you this. I grew up in El Paso. I spent a lot of years there. So I'm familiar with what a healthy border crossing looks like, and I know you are as well, how it would normally function when you're not underneath this kind of pressure. But the reality is, and for some reason, the Washington, D.C. elites like to think that, well, of course these communities are okay with illegal immigrants coming in because they're Hispanic and they have a connectivity to the culture. That's not the case at all. Where you are situated, you have people that go back 7-8 generations, all the way back to when it was Spanish land, where they have raised their families. They are great patriots. They love this country. They don't want to see it come apart like this. How do you deal with the simpletons in Washington and the way they think in their little cubicles?
They're too far away, Brent. They're too far away. And I'm glad that the situation is now coming to them so that they can reflect on this problem and hopefully someday try to fix it. But the unfairness of it all, look, anyone who's in this country legally, whether they be Latinos, Hispanic, or from China, all the majority of folks who up to date have gone through the system legally. I mean, I was born in McAllen, in the city that I now work in.
Right.
I grew up in Reynosa, Mexico. My dad, you know, and back in the 60s, 70s, they would traverse back and forth easily. He waited 10 years. My dad waited 10 years to get the proper work permit to come and work here. A few years later, my mom and dad naturally, they naturalized a citizen. At 10 plus years, attorneys, filing fees, English classes, history class, all that. That's the process. And forgotten in all this are the Lord knows how many hundreds of thousands of people are waiting to come into this country legally through a visa system and naturalization process. Those people are lost. No one's even talking about those folks because right now we have an asylum system, an immigration court system that is backlogged to the tune of 1.7 million cases and growing exponentially as we get hundreds of thousands more people crossing the border, gaming the asylum rules, gaining the asylum system in this country, hoping to get a court date, and they will never be kicked out of this country. Here in Texas, on the border,
I mean,
my county, my region, and even for El Paso, I'll say the same thing. Like, per capita, the border, U.S.-Mexican border, the cities on the border, we're some of the more, my population, my neighbors are some of the more patriotic and God-fearing.
Amen. Amen.
Christian people, and they've served, their families have served our country. We are the children of Korean veterans, of Vietnam veterans, of World War II veterans, and our kids served in the military per capita more than, you know, the ratio is higher than almost all other markets in the country.
Yep. Sergio, this is the first of what I hope will be many conversations, though I hope it gets resolved much, much more quickly than it appears to be. God bless you and the people of McAllen for being really the tip of the spear on this thing.